Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Stolen by Ehlers to Wheeler. Back to Ehlers. Scores!
Kyle Connor has the Midas touch right now.
And another outstanding stop by Connor Hellebuck.
Check the shoot. Score! Oh, what a slick move by Mark Scheifele.
Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. Hosted by Jets TV.
Welcome to episode 103 of Ground Control here, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, joined by Jets TV's Mitchell Clinton and 680 CJOB's Paul Edmonds. Guys, another week of Winnipeg Jets hockey is upon us. And before we get to the week ahead, let's talk about the week that was. The Winnipeg Jets, since the last episode of this podcast, played three games, two of which were out east, one in Ottawa and one in Toronto. Jets getting the win in both. And then obviously finishing off the week against the Edmonton Oilers here at Bell MTS Place, falling by a final score of 3-0. Paul, obviously two good and one bad. So what do you make of the loss against Edmonton and then just those two wins out east?
Well, Tyler, I'll back it up for a minute too. And I mean, listen, this has been a week, maybe pushed a little bit more to a week and a half or so, where the Jets have played without their captain. And over that time, there was six games played, including the loss that you mentioned, 3-0 to Edmonton. And they went 4-2 over that stretch. So overall, it's been a pretty good week for the Jets, considering that you're playing without one of your top six forwards. And you go on the road where seemingly you've been for the last 6 weeks. And I think at one point you played 17 of 22 on the road. And here you came away with 11 victories in that time, and I think points in 13 or 14 of those. I mean, that is just stellar performance on the road, not to mention the fact that you have 16 road wins this year, the most in the National Hockey League. So I think that the week that was a microcosm of what's gone on overall in the entire season, more specifically to the last month and a half for the Jets. So it's been pretty good, considering that you're without one of your star players, as we mentioned, and the fact that, you know, you're kind of rolling along, and now you've got yourself in a position to challenge for first place. You're only 3 points back with an even number of games played going into the other night's game with Edmonton. Now Toronto does have a game that they will be playing against Vancouver, so we'll see what happens. That point spread could be a little larger, but you're right in the mix for first place. You're right in the mix for second place, and it's a three-team race. And I think now that you have 11 games remaining on the regular season schedule, that's all you can ask for, considering the fact that you're going to finish out the month, for the most part, here at home.
Mitchell, aside from the action on the ice, the big news of the week, obviously, Adam Lowry signing a five-year extension worth $3.25 million AAV. Just what can you say about that deal and what that means for the player, the team, and everything in between?
I'll start it off with a story, actually. So what I'll do is, back when we used to be able to go into the dressing rooms prior to COVID and everything that came with that, Adam Lowry was, you know, one of my favorite people just to talk to before the cameras even started rolling. But it would also be fun just every time that you would go up to him, and it almost became routine, but I still found it funny every single time he did it, because he found ways to mix it up. You'd go to his stall and, you know, you'd exchange pleasantries, if you will. And then I would ask, like, do you have a few minutes to chat? And he would always sit back in his stall and give you a little grin and just say, so you've come for some wisdom, have you? And so I'm looking forward to being able to have those conversations again. And obviously with him signing the extension, I mean, that would be something that I get to look forward to for the next 5 years. But Jets fans and the Jets organization, they get to look forward to having just an absolute, you know, 6'5", powerful center that can go up against the opposition's best night in, night out. And he had the McDavid matchup the other night, a very rested Connor McDavid versus Adam Lowry, who's played three games in 4 nights. And I thought Lowry's line did well for the most part against McDavid. The one even strength goal that Edmonton did get came against a different line after kind of getting stuck in the defensive zone. So Adam Lowry, you know, is a guy that you could tell just from his Zoom call with the media, just really loves everything about Winnipeg, the people here, the fans here. everybody that he's kind of met. And then also there's that group of, I guess you could call them the Winnipeg Jets core that is signed for a number of seasons still to go. I mean, you're talking Captain Blake Wheeler, who Paul just talked about. Mark Scheifele's signed for a few more seasons. Josh Morrissey, Nikolai Ehlers, Kyle Connor. You know, even Dylan DeMello signed a four-year deal at the start of the year. So, you know, you got this group of guys that, you know, are have all bought into, number one, the culture in the Jets dressing room, and then also the direction that the team is going. And Lowry kind of gave kudos to everybody right at the top, and that includes obviously Mark Chipman and Kevin Cheveldayoff and the work that they've been able to do to get the Winnipeg Jets to this point. He loves the coaching staff. He said obviously his dad being here is a cherry on top, but he likely would have, you know, if all things being equal, they, you know, get to the same terms, he probably would have signed here anyways. But just to be able to have his dad here as well is a big win. And then just to hear the reaction of, you know, his teammates, obviously Josh Morrissey was a guy that talked about it prior to the game against Edmonton. Andrew Kopp, who pretty much has been on Lowry's wing 75 to 85% of the time that both of them have been in the National Hockey League. You know, I think it's just a massive win, if you will, for the Winnipeg Jets to be able to get his name on a contract for another 5 years.
Yeah, also a massive win for Jets fans. He was very complimentary of Winnipeg, the city, the province, and definitely couldn't be happier to have him sticking around for the next 5 years, at least. And before we shift topics, here is Adam Lowry following that contract signing. Just a few notes from his media availability.
Thank you, Gregor. Afternoon, Adam. Why was it important to you to commit rather than check out the first chance at unrestricted free agency?
You know what? I think it's such a good fit playing in Winnipeg, you know, being a part of this organization for so long, starting here, being drafted here. You know, it's one of those things that if you have the opportunity to kind of, you know, play out your whole career with one organization, I think you want to jump at that opportunity, obviously. The first chance to go to unrestricted free agency, you know, sometimes it can be enticing, but knowing the coaching staff here, knowing what the organization is like, you know, it's such a hard opportunity to pass up, you know, being able to sign this extension. I think, you know, I know my role in this organization. You know, I love my teammates. You know, I love playing for this team. So you know, I'm thrilled I got it done.
Hey, Adam, congratulations. You kind of alluded to it with Kenny's question, but I mean, what are the boxes that get checked by this organization for you personally that makes you, you know, you don't need a wandering eye to look somewhere else?
Well, you know, I think it starts from top to bottom with this organization. You look at Chipper and the kind of person he is, he's honest and, you know, he's really committed to winning. And, you know, you move on down, you look at the move Chevy's made and, you know, the guys he's been able to sign and lock up long-term and, you know, and then you go to the coaching staff and we see their commitment day in and day out. And then getting to kind of play with all these elite players and, you know, be surrounded by such good people in the organization, you know, that's important. Yeah. I look at the makeup of our team. I really believe we have a great chance to win. And, you know, we're given every opportunity through the management, through the ownership. They treat us unbelievably well here. You know, we're very fortunate in that sense. And playing in Winnipeg, you know, we have such a good fan base. You know, the people here are awesome. You know, there's so many things that go into wanting to stay. And, you know, I'm very fortunate and very, very pleased that we were able to work on a deal that works. And, you know, yeah, I look forward to these next 5 years.
Thanks, Gregor. Adam, congratulations. I mean, yeah, congratulations. In terms of the question, at the beginning of the year, you said that, hey, you're hopefully not too grizzled yet, but I guess over the course of a five-year extension, you're going to become grizzled, maybe be a gray beard. How do you hope that we remember this deal when the 5 years are up and we get to look back and talk about it?
Yeah, well, you know, I hope it's one that, you know, we will look at it from year one through five and, you know, I stay consistent. I kind of stay the same player and, you know, and I'm having a positive impact, you know, in the community, on the ice, off the ice and things like that. Yeah, you know, as you get older, you know, there's going to be different factors that, you know, affect how you play, but it, you know, it's about adapting to those things. It's about finding new ways to maintain that edge, whether that's physically, mentally, and, you know, continue to be kind of an integral player and an important player for this team. You know, I know my role is not necessarily to, you know, score goals, but, you know, if I can contribute at that end of the rink, well, you know, still playing solid defensively, contributing on the penalty kill, and, you know, can do that and continue to get better. You know, I think there's still areas of my game that I can improve. I know you look at different age groups and you kind of say guys peak at 25, 26, 27, depending on, you know, kind of what models you look at. I still think there's areas in my game that I can improve, and, you know, I'm looking forward to putting in the time, and, you know, hopefully we can look back over these 5 years and, you know, I had a positive impact on the team.
Paul, the Edmonton Oilers have given the Winnipeg Jets, you know, fits this season in terms of the record. They're 5-2 against Winnipeg. But you can just tell that Winnipeg is right there. Like Mitch kind of mentioned in his last answer, you know, Winnipeg only gave up one even strength goal, and then you compound the two power play goals to give you the 3-0 loss. But just what have you seen in that matchup, and how does it develop over the next few games and then leading into a potential playoff series?
Well, first off, Tyler, I'm not really worried about whether the Edmonton Oilers maybe have the perceived advantage. I know there's still two games to go if there's a playoff series between these two teams, because I think they're evenly matched and anything can happen in a 7-game series. And certainly I think Winnipeg right now with a 3-point lead going into the week, Edmonton still with 2 games in hand, there's still going to be that jockeying potentially, as I mentioned, for first place, but also for second place, because second place also guarantees you that you're going to be holding home ice advantage into the first round of the playoffs. And for me, that's kind of like having the last rock or the hammer in the 10th end in a curling match, right? Or a curling game. So that's important. Even though that the buildings are devoid of fans, it's still important that you're going to be at home potentially for that game. So have they done a good job against McDavid and Draisaitl? Well, yes, yeah, certainly. I think when you matched up the Lowry line against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Jesse Puljujärvi, you didn't give up anything. You gave up a couple of power play goals, as you mentioned. And then the one line that did give up the goal was the Scheifele line against McDavid. So that matchup's really good. What you need to do is follow that up and make sure that you've got something in a secondary fashion for when Dave Tippett wants to roll that line out and double shift them, right? To get away from, say, that line matchup, especially on the road when he doesn't have last change. So that's something to look for as well. But I like the way that, for the most part, the Winnipeg Jets neutralized that line in the last meeting. Yeah, now I know that Edmonton has won 4 straight over the Winnipeg Jets, but also in the last meeting, Edmonton's come off a week break. The Jets are playing 3-4, and I don't care what anybody says. 3 games in 4 days with this schedule is arduous. Plus, you're coming back, and it's the red flag game that Paul Maurice talked about, that game when you come back off the road trip, always a bit of a disappointment when you start that homestand. I thought that the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday night played pretty well. And were it not for maybe 9 blocked shots by the blue line for the Edmonton Oilers, were it not for what I thought was maybe his best game in a long time against the Jets and Mike Smith goaltending and backstopping Edmonton, it might have been a bit of a different story. At the same time, I think one of the things that you've got to look out for, aside from the Draisaitl and the McDavid scenarios, and Darnell Nurse logs a lot of ice time and so does Adam Larson, is that when you are going to dump the puck in the Edmonton end, you have to make sure that it stays away from Mike Smith, or it's a hard rim, because we saw it on full display on Saturday. He is very adept at handling the puck. He's 39 years old. He's been around a long, long time. He mentioned that he learned it a long time ago when he was in the Dallas Stars organization, how to get better at it. He has refined that craft. He is elite at it. And if the goaltender can handle the puck as adeptly as he does, you're going to have a hard time keeping that puck in and hunting the puck on the forecheck. Because what happens is he gets it, he outlets it to the defenseman that's usually in the open because he can read the whole ice because everybody's coming down toward him. And then it's another pass out of their own zone. And there is that deadly transition game that Edmonton can have, especially with those star players up front. So from my standpoint, I think the Winnipeg Jets match up rather nicely against the Edmonton Oilers. It's been swayed a little bit of late, and they're not going to win the season series against the Oil this year, but it makes for an interesting playoff matchup, and I'm not worried about the Winnipeg Jets if it does happen that way for the Jets and Oilers somewhere in the middle to third week in May, that they are against each other in the first round, that the Winnipeg Jets won't be involved in that series. In fact, I would tell you that the Winnipeg Jets have as good a chance at winning that series as the Edmonton Oilers. Let's see what happens in the next two games, guys, between these two teams, when I do believe that the Jets will have a better acquittal of themselves. They'll be rested, they'll be at home, and it will be Edmonton that will be traversing around a little bit more and having to airdrop themselves in here. I'll see a little bit more about where my opinions lie on who might have the upper hand after the next two games, regardless of what's happening in the season series overall.
Stay tuned. Nikolaj Ehlers, Mitch, obviously a big week for him. Hit a couple of milestones. He had the 2-goal effort in Toronto. He's got 300. He hit the 300-point mark in his career. Five straight seasons of 20 goals. Obviously very impressive given that we're in a 56-game season. Just a note on Nikolaj Ehlers. You wrote a really great piece on him on Thursday on WinnipegJets.com. You can go check that out over there. Maybe just detail us what kind of week he had.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I woke up the morning of the off day kind of between the game against the Maple Leafs and against the Oilers and thought, you know, it's an off day. You know, maybe I'll be able to put together some content. And I'd been kind of thinking about doing a piece on Nikolaj Ehlers for a bit. And, so I wrote the story and got it up on the site, as you mentioned, and thinking, yeah, that'll probably be it for the content today. You know, with the team off and everything. And then all of a sudden schedule update, Lowry extension. And it was a full day on the website. So,
oh yeah.
Make sure you head to WinnipegJets.com to find that story. But I mean, I've just been impressed with how his game has grown. And I know it's been a storyline over the course of the season, but it's almost like you could feel when he got that first playoff goal in the return to play against the Calgary Flames, that something, I don't know if something clicked or, it just seemed to be a weight off his shoulders. And then all of a sudden he's just thinking like, this is how I have to play to be successful. He's been shooting the puck on average a lot more this year than he has in previous seasons. And he described, there was one media availability that he had that he described what that shoot first mentality is. It's not necessarily coming down the ice, knowing you're shooting that puck no matter what. It's being in a shooting position or being ready to shoot the puck if that's the option that's correct for what you're reading. That way the opposition has to defend you differently because you're more of a threat in a shooting mindset or position. And then if, you know, that backdoor pass or a different play opens up while you're, you know, committed or have the mindset of shooting the puck, then you're able to take advantage of it because the defense is kind of adjusting to you. So for Nikolaj Ehlers, he's a guy that can obviously hit holes. He's a guy that can make plays off transition. He's incredibly fast. But his play along the boards and in puck battles is something that has really stood out to head coach Paul Maurice this year. And even to his teammates, I mean, Mark Scheifele spoke about it after he had, after Ehlers hit the 300 point mark, becoming the fourth Danish NHLer to do so. Just that was one of the first things that came out was battles, winning battles, puck battles along the boards. And that's important for if you're a winger in the National Hockey League. I mean, you're especially in your defensive zone, that puck comes to you, you know, 95% of the time you have a defenseman that's going to be barreling down on you trying to hold the zone. And you have to be able to not only make a play, but make the right one to either get the puck out or get it into that puck support area that the Jets like to talk about. So I just think that's something that Nikolaj Ehlers has done so well. I mean, we could talk about his offensive game all day because that's his calling card. I mean, he had 2 years in the QMJHL with over 100 points. And Paul Maurice kind of mentioned the first time that he saw him on video, you know, the 2.5-minute shifts he would take in the QMJHL. That's kind of come down to about 45, 49 seconds per shift in the National Hockey League this year. And Nikolaj Ehlers has been incredibly effective, whether it's at even strength or the power play. So I just think he's having just an absolutely phenomenal year. His 5-game point streak came to an end with the shutout loss to the Oilers, obviously. But, I mean, all we've seen this year is a guy that's going to be able to pick right back up where he left off in Winnipeg's next outing.
Speaking of short shifts, we have a quick interview here with Jordy Benn, our guest here on Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously, he's the man that the Winnipeg Jets acquired at the trade deadline. Chatted with him really quickly on Friday. As Mitch said, it was a busy day. He came over to our office space to do his quick green screen shoot for the scoreboard in the arena. And then our PR director, Scott Brown, was like, oh, do you mind doing a podcast interview with Tyler? And I had asked, but I didn't get any confirmation. So I apologize if this interview is not as in-depth as the ones I've done before. And I was not prepared. So I threw a cell phone down on the table, hit record, and we chatted for about 5 minutes. So enjoy the interview with what it has.
This is Nikolai Ehlers. You're listening to Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets.
Joined here by Jordy Benn on Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. Jordy, welcome to Winnipeg, first of all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have you ever been here before outside of your hockey travelings?
I came here once in the summer for Cody Eakin's little wedding bash, but that is about it.
Where was the wedding?
I honestly have no idea where in Winnipeg we were. I have no idea. It was some hotel around here. I don't know.
That's awesome. All right. So just what are your first impressions of the city and the rink, the facilities? Obviously, you got your first skate here on Friday in Winnipeg.
It's awesome. You know, I'm from a small town, and I feel like this has a small town feel to it. The family's really excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. We got a good thing going here that I get to be a part of. The facility's great. The few guys that I've met so far seem awesome. So we're excited.
You were mentioning to me earlier just about the process of getting here. Obviously, you were with the Canucks before this, and we all know the story of what went on there. But just tell me about the process of finding out about the trade to getting here to Winnipeg. Who came with you? The whole thing.
Yeah. So I just obviously watching the ticker in Vancouver, and there was some rumblings going on that there could be something going down with myself. And the guy that actually broke the news to me was Nate Thompson. He texted me Benny with three jet emojis, and I had to text him back because I hadn't heard anything. I was just like, "What's going on, man? Am I a Jet or something?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's what we hear. You're coming to the Jets." So that's initially how I found out, and then obviously a couple more minutes go by, I find out on the TV that I've been traded to the Jets, and then finally Benning calls me.
So you find out you're traded, and then the process starts of how you're going to get here to Winnipeg. You thought you're going to have to be on a plane right away, but because of your quarantine situation in Vancouver, you were stuck at home for a little bit longer. But it actually kind of worked out. Just maybe fill the fans in on just how that whole process worked.
Yeah, so I thought originally I was going to have to leave that night or the next day. And with everything going on in Vancouver, everybody was quarantined till Wednesday. And so I had a couple extra days. I was Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we were going to leave Thursday. So we had two full days to pack up the house. And it actually worked out quite well because my fiance, Jess, and our daughter, Billy, and our two dogs had some time to get everything packed up, get settled, and jump on a jet and fly to Winnipeg.
What were the dogs like on the plane?
They're great travelers, actually.
That's good.
Yeah, we brought them on the plane with us, and the little one passes out right away, and the big one just kind of sits there, sleeps a little bit, but yeah, they're actually really good on a plane.
I guess, you know, just with the way this season has worked out in terms of, you know, quarantining and not being able to really go and do normal stuff, how important was it that your family was able to come with you and the dogs?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, when we first found out that I was traded, we contemplated and talked about maybe just sending Jess and the dogs and Billy back to Dallas so they could just get back home and get settled, and I would come here by myself. But, you know, with where we're with how good the team is here, and, you know, we could do something special, is that I didn't want to be away from my family for that long. So with this extra couple of days, we decided, yeah, like, why wouldn't you come? We got a Cody Eakin actually set me up with a house here, put me in contact with a guy, and it just worked out. It was such a smooth transition. The family's all settled, and we're excited to be here.
You mentioned being able to do something special. I guess maybe just what are your thoughts on the team as a whole? Obviously, Vancouver didn't have a whole heck of a lot of success in Vancouver against Winnipeg, but just what do you think of the team that you're joining?
Yeah, I mean, obviously playing against them, they got a solid team all the way through, from the goaltenders to the to the forwards. So, you know, Winnipeg was always really tough to play against. It's just nice to be on Winnipeg's side now.
You talked to Paul this morning just about what your usage might be, what the plan is for you. Just how did those conversations go with what you can share?
Yeah, conversations have been great. You know, it's been brief, but it was nice to get into his office and sit down and chat with him for a bit. You know, I've had some time off with everything going on in Vancouver. I just need to get the lungs and get the legs back together. And, you know, it's going to be a couple days. You can't just get thrown right into a fire and be expected to play well. So, you know, I need a couple days to skate and get to know the boys and get ready to go.
Jory, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Shop where the players shop. Jets Gear and TrueNorthShop.com are your authentic team stores. Make sure to stock up on all your favorite Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose merchandise today. Visit one of the 5 Jets Gear locations or shop online at TrueNorthShop.com.
All right, before we move into the second half of this podcast, I just want to take a quick note to thank our healthcare heroes this week. That's the Northern Health Public Health Program. And so the healthcare professionals working within the Northern Health Region's public health team have had a lot of ground to cover during the COVID-19 pandemic. The team made up of professionals from a variety of backgrounds and many different communities have been responsible for meeting the needs of 16 different communities and numerous First Nations communities located across the health region's vast geographic area, which, by the way, is the province's largest. So the fight definitely isn't over, but we thank you for all that you have done and continue to do. Moving on, Paul, we'll go to you first. The Winnipeg Jets, they get some rest this week. My gosh, and do they need it? Like we talked about, 3 and 4 nights. This is coming at a really good time in the season. Looks like we're probably going to see Blake Wheeler back in the lineup on Thursday against Toronto. Just what do you think the rest can do for this hockey club? And then moving into the games this week against the Leafs.
Well, Tyler, there's about 3 or 4 things that I think are going to come from this week. Number one, there's going to be a reintroduction to Winnipeg. And what I mean by that is the players that have significant others and families are going to be home to do some of those, you know, husband and dad things, right? And that's really important to feel like you're grounded again and you have that foundation and to make sure that you're there for the support of your family. The guys that don't certainly have some routine in town, and that's part of just playing in a place where you've been for the entire season or for multiple seasons. So I know that they can't go out a lot, but maybe there's a favorite restaurant they'd like to order in from. So that gets you grounded. That gets you feeling like you're back at home. Number two, as you mentioned, is going to be the rest and the recovery time. The Jets need it. They're going to get some significant time, a 4-day break. They haven't had that for many, many weeks. I think the last time that they had a decent break was 3 days, and that was before everything started in the wacky month of March. So it's been since February since you've had any long break. And then from there, you're going to have some days where you're going to get some significant practice time involved. And it's not going to be that you're skating the guys for 90 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever it is, but it's going to be the opportunity to not feel rushed about working on some things in your game, the fine tuning elements, the detail elements of your game. So those are the things that I think are going to be important. And then from all of that, number four is going to be that you should put yourself in a pretty good spot with all of that into that final push going forward for the final 11 games that you have on the regular season schedule, 8 of which will be at home and then 3 more on the road. So I think if you're looking at this from the big picture standpoint, this is very beneficial at this time for the Jets, especially with Toronto coming in here. They've got a 2-game set. You've got Edmonton still to come in here, and you're battling with those two teams for first and second overall in the Scotia NHL's North Division. So it's reintroduction, it's rest, it's recovery, and then it's certainly being able to get back on the ice and get down to some of that detail work in practice and then put it all together. And then hopefully over the course of the last 3 weeks, you can make that push to get to where you want to get to, which I would presume, and although it's not been acknowledged by the Jets, would be first place overall in their division.
Mitch, the last topic we'll talk about is Nate Thompson. On Saturday night, he had a career milestone, game number 800. That came against the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, a fantastic accomplishment. He's got 2 goals, 3 assists on the year. And it's really been a mainstay on that fourth line ever since he came back from injury that he suffered early on in the season. Just how do you quantify the value that he's brought to this team, both on and off the ice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that you can, because he's got kind of touch points in a number of different spots. I mean, obviously, he's a big part of the penalty kill that continues to kind of surge up the standings. I mean, they gave up two on the penalty kill against the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, and that's the first time they've done that since January. So obviously they've been a crew that's been playing pretty well together. Paul Maurice always talks about how there's a huge amount of respect for the guys that play on Winnipeg's fourth line because of the veteran presence there and the role that both Thompson and Trevor Lewis play. So obviously that's been a huge thing for the Winnipeg Jets, that you have that line that you can rely on that's anchored by Nate Thompson in the middle, just to be able to, number one, take some of those big defensive zone draws that they've seen, and then also, you know, play into that, you know, 8 to 10, 11 minutes a night, and that really helps in the condensed schedule, especially, you know, when you're playing 3 games in 4 nights like Paul Edmonds mentioned a little bit earlier. So there's that, and then also, I mean, he's helping everybody. Mark Scheifele mentioned not too long ago the help that Nate Thompson's given him in the faceoff dot. And Mark Scheifele's ability in the faceoff dot since has taken off. Like, he's had a couple of nights where he's been over 60%. I think there was one night he was close to 70. And so anytime you can get your centers over 50% in the faceoff dot, that's a big thing for you. And you look back at the 14 or so seasons that Thompson's had in the NHL, 11 of them have been over 50% in the dot for him. At career, he's nearly 53%. And that kind of consistency is, that's not easy, especially over the course of the year. Yeah, you get maybe a little bit more veteran savvy in the dot, but to be able to maintain that over the course of a really long career that spanned, as you said, 800 games is impressive. So, and obviously we've documented a lot of the off-ice stuff that Nate Thompson has gone through, and how proud he is about how long that he's been sober, and just the ability that's given him on the ice to be able to, you know, play the game that he wants, and then off the ice be able to communicate that message about making sure that the importance of mental health and the conversations around it, being able to talk. And I just think he's done a number of great things for the Winnipeg Jets, not only on the ice, but off. I think he's just a presence in the room that's very respected. And, you know, obviously I'm not in the room to see that, but it's not hard to see on the ice and even on the bench. And even in the short videos that we see from things like helmet presentations, or even at the start of the year, reading the starting lineup, I think that really speaks volumes to the impact that Nate Thompson's had on the team.
Yeah, I think when the Jets signed Nate Thompson, I think we as outsiders thought, oh, this will be a real rah-rah, like, big team guy. And he is, but he does it in a very quiet way. He's not loud and joking and whatnot. So it's an interesting, different type of veteran presence that I think the Winnipeg Jets obviously welcome. We've talked a lot about milestones on this episode of Ground Control. Just a couple other ones to highlight. Josh Morrissey got his 100th career assist on April 10th against Montreal. Andrew Kopp played in his 400th career game on April 15th in Toronto. And two are upcoming, actually. Mark Scheifele just needs 3 goals for 200 in his career. And Paul Maurice just needs 1 more win behind the Jets bench to reach 300 as coach of the Winnipeg Jets. So I think it would be fitting if he got it against Toronto on Thursday. All right, gentlemen, thanks so much for the time. Paul Edmonds, Mitchell Clinton, and myself, on behalf of the three of us, and of course, Jordy Ben, thank you so much for listening to episode 103 of Ground Control.
This is Big Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, hosted by Jets TV. For Jets news, videos, and more, head to winnipegjets.com.